From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today on the program, we're going to be talking with writer Rainsford Stouffert about her book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional, a collection of stories from young people who've rejected the pressure to be perfect. Plus, a group of cyclists are doing a one-day bike ride across Illinois, 150 miles from the Mississippi to Lake Michigan. One of the cyclists will pull over mid-ride to talk with us about what they're seeing as they go across our state. That's all later in the program. First, for those of us of a certain age, we were subject to a great deal of instruction and persuasion on the subject of recycling. Take a listen to this PSA from 1991.
What more will you do? We must reduce all this garbage we're creating.
Until we get our very own blue box, I'm organizing recycling in our building. Hey, us cliff dwellers want this land to have a future too. It's worth it.
I'm reusing this plastic jug and making it into a funnel and a tool holder. Jars for nuts, bolts, screws, nails. Reuse it for the future. It's worth it.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. It's worth it.
It is worth it.
But even if we're careful about sorting out paper from plastic and washing that plastic too, what really happens to our recycling? My guest says the system has created vast environmental and social injustices that are often hidden when we frame recycling as an entirely positive environmental action. Courtney Gallagher is an associate professor in the Department of Geographic and Atmospheric Sciences at Northern Illinois University, where she's also part of the Center for the Study of Women, Gender, and Sexuality. We taped this interview back in April and are revisiting it today. Because of that, we're not taking calls, but we always love to hear what you thought of our conversations. Email us. The address is talk@21stshow.org. Okay, here now is my conversation with Professor Gallagher from Northern Illinois University. Courtney Gallagher, welcome to The 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
I want to begin by, before we get into where recycling is today, I wonder if you can just draw sort of a brief sketch of the history of the recycling movement. I mean, we heard that PSA. I imagine you heard similar things coming
up.
Of
course, absolutely.
You know, my grandmother tells stories from her childhood. This is before the Depression of using butcher paper for drawing in games that, you know, I'd come home from the store and they'd reuse it. That wasn't a new idea to older generations. What happened that we needed to be retaught this?
So I think that there's a long history, as you describe, of people reusing items, but the modern day recycling movement is really an outgrowth of the fact that after World War II, all of these industries, including the steel industry, the plastic industry, had the surplus of goods and started marketing single-use items. So as single-use items, you know, disposable diapers, disposable water bottles, cutlery, whatever, started to proliferate, we needed to do something with the waste. And so we started to think about ways to hold producers responsible, and a lot of the industries pushed back in sort of subtle ways. So, for example, the American Bottling Association was behind the Keep America Beautiful campaign, which was part of the, you know, Don't Be a Litter Bug PSA series. And they sort of reframed the public understanding of waste such that it was an individual responsibility or choice. Like, it was your job to deal with the waste and to recycle it and to be a good environmental citizen. But what that meant was that we were no longer thinking about the industries who were producing this waste in a way to keep them responsible for creating packaging that could be recycled.
Yeah,
and now we just have tons and tons of packaging being produced.
Yeah, and lots of plastic. And let's come back to that point, because we got some comments from listeners on that idea of holding, you know, whether this is an individual problem or a collective problem to be solved. But,
sure.
You know, I think by a lot of measures, recycling might seem to be, to a lot of people, a success story, right? We have more curbside pickup in more communities. I walk around the city where I live in public places. There are recycling cans next to trash cans. But there are a lot of problems with how recycling is handled today. We asked our listeners about their concerns. A number of you called in with voicemails. Let's listen to some of what they had to say.
Hi. My name is Tana. I'm from rural Menard County.
Hi, my name is John, and I'm from Mount Morris.
Wendy, Rock City.
What bothers me about plastics, any plastics, are They've eventually become aerosolized and get into our systems through the food we eat and the animals and blah, 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 all over. Not to speak of all the islands of plastic, the one size of Texas off the coast of Chile. So, yes, it's recycling is very doable, and it is awful if it's not all being recycled.
Yes, our community has community-wide recycling, although I'm a little suspicious that it all ends up in the correct recycling places. I think one way to resolve the problem would be to have government subsidize recycling to encourage recyclers and make sure that all the intended recycling goes to the correct place.
I often wonder what happens to my recycle. I totally recycle everything I possibly can, and it's very disheartening to know that most of these places who supposedly, air quote, recycle, don't do it. They send it to third world countries to fill up all of their landfills and waters. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so Courtney, I wonder what you think about what you heard there. What are some of the problems with recycling today?
So I think that your listeners will make really excellent points. There are a lot of structural problems with our recycling programs today. So the act of recycling doesn't happen when you put stuff into a recycling can. The recycling process, it means that, you know, the goods that you've put into that can actually gets turned into something else. And that, of course, requires that we have a market for those materials to be recycled into new products. And so historically, we have shipped a lot of our recyclable products abroad. And China has in the past been the biggest consumer of those products. But starting in 2017, they announced new regulations. They banned mixed waste products and mixed plastics, and they've gotten even stricter since then about contamination in the recycling stream, which happens fairly easily in if people put the wrong things into the bins. And so there's the market has essentially fallen apart. And so now it's, I don't want to paint the picture that, you know, when you put stuff into recycling, you know, some company is maliciously not recycling it. It's just that there isn't a market for those goods anymore. And so this gets back to that issue of not creating that waste in the first place and finding ways to hold industries responsible for that. And so Europe has fairly recently put in place a new law that makes the companies that produce goods responsible for figuring out how to reduce or recycle that the packaging waste. And so what that has resulted in is just different types of packaging products being used. So the listener who mentioned plastics getting into the oceans and into the waste streams has really valid concerns. And that's often just because there aren't good places to ship that. So it ends up being put into, landfills, or a lot of ocean plastic is generated in countries that don't have good recycling programs and end up in things like the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. And so we really, as a planet, but especially here in the United States as a country, need to be thinking about how do we just not generate that type of waste in the first place if we want to start to tackle these issues.
Yeah, we got a text from a listener, Ryan in Champaign, who was on this point and said, recycling is a scam to make consumers feel better about purchasing single-use items that pollute our environment. Why is the responsibility put on the consumer and not the producer of the waste? A true zero-waste lifestyle does not seem currently attainable in America. As far as I know, most grocery stores do not provide options for refilling reusable containers, and almost all items come prepackaged. The lifetime of non-consumables is also ridiculously low. I wouldn't be surprised if corporations design products to fail to encourage new purchases, make the producers responsible for their own waste. I mean, you've talked about some of these ideas and some of the resistance from industry in the past. Do you think ultimately is this a problem that can be solved through individual action? Is there even a point to metal drinking straws and reusable bags and things like that? I think a lot of people maybe want to throw up their hands about the situation we're in.
I mean, I do understand that sentiment. I think there is a place for individual choices for a couple of reasons. I think that it makes individual people more conscious of their consumption habits, right? So you might think twice before grabbing that next plastic straw or grabbing that plastic bag at the grocery store. But I also think that it signals to industry that people are serious and have concerns about the environment. It also signals to legislators that people are interested in forcing industry's hands. So while individual choices matter, structural changes matter more. And so, you know, pressuring companies and politicians, educating each other about how to do so, and how do we incentivize our economy based around better environmental practices is ultimately what's going to change. But I don't want to write off individual choices as not mattering at all. And I think that the other point that your listener made is just that, you know, in a way, recycling has become an excuse for carrying on the status quo of using single-use products. And I do think that to this point, in terms of a lot of environmental issues, including recycling, we've been asking, like, how do we change without changing? So how do we continue right. our lifestyle and get away with it in a slightly better way? And that's maybe not the question we can be asking anymore.
Right. If you want to drink, you know, if somebody likes drinking soda and soft drinks, there are not really that many ways to consume it, you know, that do not involve plastic or aluminum, right?
Exactly.
It's just one, for instance. Yeah. What you have also studied food, and let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Professor Courtney Gallagher, who's at Northern Illinois University. Courtney, you have studied sub-Saharan Africa and food systems and urban agriculture there. Can you talk just briefly how that relates to recycling in the U.S.? How does it connect to the food supply in Africa?
Yeah, so I actually got interested in thinking about this topic of recycling and waste management through my work in East Africa, because I worked in the Kibera slums, which is in Nairobi, Kenya, and is one of the largest slums in sub-Saharan Africa. And it's also a space that's not legally recognized by the government. And so there's no formal waste management system there, which means that trash just gets dumped wherever. And people were trying to grow food amidst all of this trash. And so it got me to thinking about how hidden our trash problem is in the United States, but that obviously we generate a lot more than people in sub-Saharan Africa on average, just because we have more purchasing power, greater consumption habits. And so I started to really question like, where does our trash go and how does that start to impact the communities where trash is input in the United States. So, you know, there were concerns in terms of growing food in sub-Saharan Africa because people were growing in highly contaminated soils. But I think it also highlights the structural inequalities in the United States, which is that we tend to ship our waste into low-income communities, communities of color. If you look at the processing facilities for both trash and mixed waste recycling streams, it's often people who are low income or communities of color who invite those facilities into their communities out of economic necessity, right? And who are also employed there, but they're often quite hazardous jobs. And so my work in Africa just sort of got me to thinking about the structural inequality embedded in our waste management system.
Fascinating. So we've only got maybe a minute and a half left. I guess ultimately, are you where we are now, are you optimistic, pessimistic? Where do you range on the hopefulness versus, I guess, not being hopeful outlook for single-use plastics and recycling and just our entire waste situation here?
I have two young kids, and I also work with incredible college students every day. And I have to be hopeful because what other option do we have, right? But I really have seen a shift in young people that are entering university now. They seem determined. They understand that their generation is sort of seeing this existential threat from environmental crises combined, you know, waste management, climate change, everything. And they are not buying any excuses from it. And so I am hopeful in the sense that I think that we're going to start to see a lot of structural changes happen as people demand them. But I don't think it's going to be an easy or a clean process to get there. But yeah, I have to remain hopeful because it's what keeps me going. And I would encourage others to as well.
Final thought, do you have any personal life hacks that you use? I've heard of, you know, one person I heard carries a camping spork, like sort of thing you buy at a camping store, around with them so they don't have to use, you know, the forks and spoons when they go to Chipotle for lunch or something like that.
Oh, you know, I mean, I do all the things that maybe one should do in terms of reusable products, the reusable shopping bags I carry around you know, spork-like stuff. I use metal straws. Is that going to solve our environmental waste problem? No. but it keeps, it reminds me, right? Like, it serves as a reminder.
Keeps it front of mind.
That these are things that need to be addressed. And so I would, you know, that's perhaps the purpose of these actions.
Courtney Gallagher is a professor at Northern Illinois University. She's going to be giving a talk tomorrow night, Wednesday night. We'll have a link to that if you want to go. It's virtual, like so many things these days. If you want to attend that, at our website, 21stshow.org. Courtney Gallagher, thanks for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Coming up on the program, a conversation with writer Rainsford Stafford, whose book is called An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. It's a collection of stories from young people who've rejected that pressure to be perfect. Plus, we're going to hear from a cyclist who's part of a group doing a one-day bike ride across Illinois, 150 miles from the Mississippi River to Lake Michigan, pulled over mid-ride, going to be talking with us about this feat of distance and endurance and just what they're seeing out there as they cross our state. That's all coming up on the 21st. Stay with us.